What an exciting week this is for the city of Houston, for we host our third Super Bowl this week. Last night, my wife and I went down and just wanted to experience this Super Bowl, and we walked around the convention center, and if you haven't had a chance to do that, do schedule it one day this, or at least one night this week. It's an experience that I think your kids would enjoy, and I think you will enjoy it also. But people are flocking to this city from all over the country and all over the world. Recording artists, including Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars, are coming. And, of course, the Patriots and the Falcons will be showing up at NRG Stadium just down the street at 5:30 next Sunday afternoon. And all I can say is, wow. What excitement and what an experience that we all will experience. Let's just say that you are a huge football fan, that you watch TV as often as you can to catch a football game. You watch it every Monday night during the football season, every Thursday night. You watch it all day Saturday and all day Sunday. You don't miss a game. You watch all the college and all the pro games. You subscribe to all of the TV stations that you can, so you can watch the football games. You buy the tickets that you can afford that are the games around here. But there's one ticket you just can't afford, and that's the game this coming Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. But let's say that somebody knocks on your door this afternoon and says, I have a ticket for you, a ticket to the Super Bowl next Sunday afternoon. And it's just not any ticket. It's a ticket in a suite. You don't know this person. They're representing an unknown benefactor. And they say that this benefactor just wants you to have this ticket. So after you pick yourself off the floor, you go in and check the internet, and you find out that that ticket is worth, there actually is a ticket on the internet worth $346,000. $408. Would you be happy? Would you be happy if somebody gave you this afternoon that ticket? If football is not your deal, let's look at something else I believe would be your deal. One of my favorite television shows as I was growing up was The Millionaire. I don't know if you remember that show. Some of you weren't born yet, but it was between 1955 and 1960. And the theme of The Millionaire was that someone would knock on someone's door and hand them a check for $1 million. And the rest of the show was how that individual would spend that $1 million throughout their lives. And typically, as you would guess, their lives were not smooth during the rest of their lives. If you translated that $1 million to today, that $1 million would be worth $8,900,000. So if somebody this afternoon knocks on your door and hands you a check for $8,900,000, would you be happy? Jesus took his disciples up to the mountain to teach them how to live their lives. The first thing he knew that they wanted to know is how to be happy. Our passage from our gospel reading uses the word blessed, but many passages translate the word blessed as happy. Happy. A feeling that each of us wants to have in our lives. A feeling that we want our family members, our spouse, our children, our friends, our neighbors to have in their lives, to be happy. What is it that we hear often in our lives? Are you happy? Are you happy? Happiness is a feeling, but all too often, happiness is a feeling that is fleeting. It is in the moment. If someone gave you those Super Bowl or that Super Bowl ticket, once you have been to the game and the game is over, once you have told your friends about the game, Once the moment has passed, it is a memory. And it brings about just a flicker of joy, and a flicker of happiness. But the real happiness is in your rear view mirror. Once you receive that check for $8,900,000, and once you have spent it on whatever you've spent it on and invested it, the spending it and the investing it, the happiness is again in your rear view mirror. The same thing is true if you won the lottery. The same thing is true if you got a promotion. The same thing is true for anything that has occurred in your life. The happiness is in your rearview mirror. Many discover that their lofty monuments that they've had built in their name are turning to dust before they even die. Sir Cecil Rhodes, who brought together in South Africa the British Empire, was once asked by a reporter, "You ought to be happy." An easy question, as I said earlier. "You ought to be happy." Rhodes replied, "Happy? Good Lord, no." He went on to say that he spent his life amassing a fortune, and he is now spending all of his money, half to his doctors to keep him out of the grave, and the other half to his lawyers to keep him out of jail. Happiness is fleeting, but what is not fleeting is something far, far deeper, and that is joy. A devotional appeared last August in the Huffington Post, which said in part, "Happiness and joy may seem similar, but they are quite different. We may be happy when we get the promotion, but feel joy when we spend time with a loved one. Happiness depends on the circumstance, where joy on emotional well-being. We live in a society that promotes happiness above all else, but happiness is transient and disappears the minute you tame the object of your desire. This seems to keep many in a perpetual state of longing and yearning for happiness, doing anything and everything to achieve this monetary climax." Never know what you may read in the Huffington Post. Joy, however, is the assurance that God is with you and in you in all circumstances. It is in knowing that in all circumstances of life, good and bad, that God is in control and will take care of you. Joy comes from your center, the very center of your heart, deep in your heart. Joy comes from our completely giving of ourselves over to God, not holding anything back, but knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is in control and taking control of everything. From that, joy is possible. Which takes us back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks to his disciples not about happiness, but about joy. Living out their lives, giving their lives over to God, giving their lives over to God's control, letting God be in charge of everything. For only by their being poor will they be joyful. By only being meek will they find joy. For only craving righteousness and justice will they be joyful. For only by becoming merciful and becoming peacemakers will they be joyful. By being persecuted will they be able to be joyful. And by only seeking the kingdom of God will they finally understand what joy is. Oh, we may think we want happiness, but it is joy that we seek. It is a life filled with joy that Jesus taught those disciples on that mount. But that is what Jesus teaches us on this January 29, 2017. I close with another story. Next to the elevators in the RCA building at Rockefeller Center, there is an inscription below a mural. The inscription reads, "Man's ultimate destiny depends not on whether he can learn new lessons or whether new discoveries and conquests, but on his acceptance of the lesson taught to him close on to 2,000 years ago." The mural, the mural is under the depiction of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount mural is next to the elevators in the RCA building. So let me paraphrase that description. Our ultimate joy depends not on whether we can learn new lessons, earn fame or money, but in our acceptance of the teachings of Jesus as found in the Sermon on the Mount 2,000 years ago. Amen.